We discussed this actually, I think maybe last year in Shul on Shabbos regarding the bracha of sushi. But I kind of want to return to it. I guess it's in the parsha a little bit, you know, after the Makkah of Adam, after the plague of blood. So all that fish came out on the shores, and there was all that raw fish there. And it was gross and disgusting, and the Egyptians didn't eat it, according to the Psukim. However, we do have a minute to eat raw fish in the form of sushi. We'll talk about that type of fish and the bracha. Let's just review very quickly what sushi is, and we'll get into the bracha discussion. Sushi, as we know, is a Japanese food with a mixture of rice, raw fish, vegetables. You know, in the last 20 years or so, you know, sushi has become very popular for Jews in America. I think it's hard to go to a single event and there's not a plate of sushi. And it's considered standard fare in American Jewish cuisine. I remember even a few years ago going to a bar mitzvah in a shul and overhearing a young man. No, it's not herring. I remember hearing a young man talking to his father as they walked into the kiddush. It was a bar mitzvah kiddush, and the young man looked at his father and said, "Dad, no sushi." So I obviously that comment can reflect a lot of different things. But for our comment tonight, the idea that sushi is considered a normal Jewish food. In Eretz Yisrael, there's been a recent boom in the serving of sushi in restaurants and the religious community. And many people have begun to write recently, last few years, about the bracha. Now, there are a number of types of sushi, but we're going to discuss your standard fare that contains, you know, the four popular ingredients, the nori sheet of seaweed, the rice, the raw fish, and the vegetables. In general, if you would to measure or to weigh, I think you would find that in the average piece of regular sushi, there's probably about 40% rice, about 15% of the fish, maybe 15% of an avocado or something else, and probably 15% vegetables. I honestly think that the entire purpose that sushi is in this world is to test our ability to understand Hilchos Brachos. I don't think there is a single food that is as complicated in the realm of Hilchos Brachos as sushi. Generally, Hilchos Brachos are straightforward, and sometimes there are some twists and some turns, but I'm letting you know that the discussion about the bracha on sushi is extremely, extremely complicated, and we're going to try to touch on four different approaches tonight. The main source of this discussion is in the Torah Journal Yeshurin in Kovetz Lamed Gimel 33. An article by Harav Alexander Mandelbaum, who is considered to be the Rosh HaMadabrim, the greatest posek in the realm of Hilchos Brachos we have nowadays. His Sefer Vezos HaBracha is considered the standard text, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, a little bit in America. In America, we have Rabbi Forrest, we have Rabbi Bodner's English books, but Rabbi Mandelbaum is considered to be the foremost expert in Hilchos Brachos, and he has an article in Yeshurin about sushi. He published the article after the printing of Vezos HaBracha, which comes out in printings every few years because it had just become more and more popular. He begins by telling us he's going to take a few things for granted. The first thing Rabbi Mandelbaum says is that the bracha on rice is mezonos. We're not debating that. The bracha on rice is mezonos. And even though we have a rule of kol sheyeshbo mechameshes minei dagan, whenever you have a mezonos mixed with something else, we say that the mezonos automatically becomes the main bracha, everything else becomes secondary. We cannot say this about rice, even though it's mezonos, because rice is a fake mezonos. It's not one of the five grains. It has been carried over because it acts like a grain, but it's not really a grain. The second assumption is that we are speaking about the standard roll of sushi, where the vegetables or the fish are wrapped in a layer of rice, and you eat that bite of sushi at one time. We're going to use his article in Yeshurin 33 as a jumping off point, and they're going to add other comments surrounding what he says. So there are essentially four different approaches how to view sushi. Let's begin with the first approach. The first is the idea of, let's look at the majority. Let's look at what is the most there and make the bracha based on that. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Reshit Beis that there's a concept of ikar and tafel, main and secondary. And the bracha goes on the ikar, the main thing, and the tafel doesn't need to get a bracha. Classic example, a bowl of cereal and milk. You make a bracha on the cereal, ignoring the milk. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat and Aleph, the ikar v'tafel means that the two foods are mixed together and that one food is there to serve the other. If there are two foods that are ikar, that are main, then the one that is the majority becomes the ikar. So that's the question. Let's say there are two foods I very much want to be there. One is not serving the other. They come together. Then if that case, you move over a step to what's more of the two ikarim, the two main foods. The majority means that the majority of the foods have that same bracha. This is important. For example, in Vizosa Bracha, Rosh Hashanah Zaman Rav Yashiv say that a fruit salad, there are two types of fruit in that fruit salad. There are some fruits that are adama, some fruits that are eitz, right? You may have a strawberry that's going to be adama, but you'll have grapes that'll be eitz. And you'll have a banana that'll be adama, but you'll have a kiwi that'll be eitz. So explains Rav Yashiv and Rosh Hashanah Zaman Arbach, in deciding what's the majority, you don't look at the majority of what kind of fruit. You look at the majority of what kind of bracha is present. How many things there are the majority of that type of bracha? And that's how you follow in order to decide that. Now, there's a comment of the Prima Gadim, and this is very important. The Prima Gadim writes in Siman Reish Ches, and he cites the Prisha, who says that rov means 51%. It doesn't mean, and this is so important, it doesn't mean the most thing that's there in that piece of sushi. Rov means, to be majority means it has to be 51%. And this is the opinion of Rav Yashiv, quoted by Rabbi Mandelbaum in Yeshurun, that the majority exempts the minority, even if it's not clearly observable that it's the majority. It needs just be 51%. This is the concept that we find as Rubo Kukulo. We've heard this before. If it's the majority, it's like it's all there. And that depends on the metzias, the reality. Is there 51% of that thing? And that's how we decide. If you don't know what the rov is, you don't know what the majority is, you don't have to take it apart and measure it with a tool and take out your micrometer and try to figure out what's the majority. Instead, what you do is you take it apart and you make multiple brachos on the pieces that are there. Now, regarding sushi, I would tell you that after much measuring and weighing and things like that, it is clear that rice is not always more than 51%. That's not always the case. I think you look at it and say, oh, clearly there's more rice than anything else. But it's very rare, I would say, to have a piece of sushi, or average piece of sushi, where the rice is 51% of the entire bite. It's usually somewhere between 40 and 50%. Now, if you want to add some more rice, so it's more than 51%, then according to Rabbi Mandelbaum, and Rav Shmuel Yosef Shtitzberg in the Sefer Shari HaBrach, who is also a popular Sefer in Hilchos Brachos, Rabbi Olbaum from Queens has a tshuva printed in the Sefer Mitzion Tetzei Torah as well. They all say that the bracha is mezonos because it's the rov, it's 51%, and it exempts everything else. If the vegetables are the majority, if it's 51% of vegetables, then you make hadama, and it covers everything else. Now Rabbi Olbaum adds that we only judge the rov with the rice and the fish, but not the vegetables. He thinks that vegetables are not significant enough to become an ikar part of the sushi. Nobody's having the sushi for the vegetables. Okay, this is what's a debate. Rav Schechter says the same thing as well. Rav Schechter has a tshuva that is printed in the OU's Daf HaKashrus, number 22-4, meaning year 22, the fourth printing, the fourth edition. Rav Schechter writes, it's really a discussion about Bishul Akam and sushi and how we view that. But we're not. That's not our discussion for tonight. Rav Schechter writes, listen to this. He says, "Ve'achos hadag shebechatichos hasushi hu pachos mechamishim achos." He says the amount of fish that's in the sushi is less than 50%. "V'harbe ochlim min sushi she'im bo chatichos dag v'chlal." And many people have sushi that doesn't have any fish at all. "V'alkein," and therefore, "kasha l'kvoa shehadag hu ha'ikr sebeshusi." It's hard to say that fish is ever the main part of the sushi. In fact, sushi, I think in Japanese, means with rice. The very name sushi seems to show that the rice is the main player here. V'al pip shuto, dino ketuf. And therefore, says Rav Schechter, the fish is always tuffel. It's always secondary. U'minan achon levarech mezonos. And therefore, Rav Schechter says you should make mezonos. When? Bizman sha'orez hu harov. When the rice is the majority, the 51%. That's when you make the bracha mezonos. And therefore would come out that you only would seem to make a mezonos, according to this opinion, if there's 51% of rice. Now, some people want to claim that even if the rice is not 51% of the sushi, nevertheless, you should still treat it like the majority and make mezonos on the sushi because the biggest section, it's the biggest section of all the parts. If you look at a piece of sushi, what do you see first? It's the rice. The rice strikes you first. And therefore, it overrides other parts and becomes the ikar. However, Rabbi Mandelbaum says that's incorrect. He says if you look in the Shaaret Zion, in the Mishibur in Siman Reish Chesen, Sif Katan Lamed Dalet, he does not agree with this. It says clearly that the making of a bracha on Rov is a dinin rubo kakulo, that it needs to be 51%. If so, then it's only a real majority if there's 51% of rice of the entire mixture. However, since it's usually only around 40% and not a real rov, you cannot say rubo kakulo, and you have to separate and make a bracha on each part. We'll get back to that later on. Now, what if one piece is rov mazana? Sometimes, you know, they don't cut it exactly. One piece is bigger, one piece is smaller. So in that case, you could make a mazonos on the one piece or a shahako, whatever it may be, and that will cover everything else as well. So that's approach number one. Maybe it should be mizonos. So Rabbi Mandelbaum says it's very hard, Rabbi Shechter as well says it's very hard to argue that, because the rice is rarely going to be 51% of the sushi, unless you have a clear piece of sushi where it makes up 51%. Let's go to the next approach. Maybe it will be an old-fashioned discussion in Iker and Tafel. Do you view the rice and the fish as both the Iker, and therefore are forced to follow the rov, or can we establish that there's a true ikr? Now, some say the ikr is the filling, and the rice is there to serve the filling. Others say we view the item as a single piece, regardless of the components, and we see two ikarim, as we said before. So how do we decide over here? There's a number of ways to clarify the issue of ikr v'tafel. The tafel is there to assist the ikr, like the cucumber with a piece of Yerushalmi kugel, which is a classic delicacy, or a cracker with a piece of herring. The cracker is there to serve the herring. In that case, it's clear what's there to be the main show. There's a tshuva from Rav Pinchas Avram Myers, who is the Av Basin of The Hague, like in Europe. And he writes in his Divrei Pinchas in Chelek Alf and Simen Chaf Beis that the purpose of sushi is to have the filling, and the rice is only there to take away from the strong taste of the fish. Even if the rice is the majority, the ikar food is always the fish, says Rabbi Myers. And therefore the bracha on sushi is always shahakal. My feeling is that the Divrei Pinchas is not the way most people think. Most people think about the fish when it comes to the rice. It's not there to act on the taste of the fish. It is the flavor and it's the texture. If you didn't want the rice, then you would just have the raw fish. Or you'd have something like maybe like sashimi. But if you're having a piece of the rice wrapping in the fish, clearly it's hard to ignore the rice. It's hard to go with Rabbi Meyer's approach. In addition, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Reishit Beis Sivkatan Vav that if you eat mizonos with cheese or other spreads, even if you really like those additions to the mizonos, nevertheless, the bracha is still on the mizonos because you like the mizonos. That goes for any food that's there to assist the main food. Rabbi Mandelbaum says that all this is on condition you're not really interested in the secondary food. And he cites as a proof the Igros Moshe, Ramosha's famous Shuvan Arachayim Chelek Dalid in Siman Mem Gimel about the ice cream and the cone. What do you do with an ice cream cone? What's the halacha? So Rav Moshe says, if you're mostly interested in the ice cream and the cone is simply there, then you make a bracha on the ice cream and not the cone. But if you're ordering the ice cream and the cone because you wanted the cone as well, then you have to make two brachas. It doesn't matter that one is more important. Obviously, if somebody said, do you want ice cream or the cone, you'd take the ice cream. But you chose the cone, says Ramosha, perhaps because you wanted that taste of the cone. As opposed to, they're just handing out ice creams and you had no choice, and there was a cone with ice cream, so there maybe you'd make a bracha just on the ice cream. But if you actually went to choose the cone because you wanted that taste, then says Ramosha, you'd have to make two brachas. And therefore, says Rabbi Mandelbaum, if a person isn't interested in the mizonos, and the person doesn't care for the rice, then he'll only make a bracha on the filling. However, this assumes you don't want the rice at all. But who eats sushi and doesn't want the rice at all? If you're eating the sushi with the rice simply because it's there. However, you're interested in the rice, and even if it's the secondary filling, you must also still make a bracha on the rice. And he expands upon this in the Sefer Vezosa Bracha, page 91. In addition, it can change from meal to meal, he says. It could be today I'm more interested in the fish, today I'm more interested in the rice. But most people want the rice there as well. And therefore, it's hard to say that the mizonos is going to be putter. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Kuf Samech Chesef Katan Mem Hei that if there are two components that are recognizable by themselves, then they're only one tavshil if they are cooked together. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that a tavshil echad, one unit, means that the two different parts can be picked up at the same time with a spoon. With sushi, the components are not large enough to be considered separate entities, and the components can be picked up together on one spoon. And therefore, he says, it's hard to argue that I'm going to divide it into two. You should make one bracha if there's a clear rov and not separate it if it's actually one unit. So we have a confusing contradiction over here. Should I be separating the pieces of sushi or should I not be separating the pieces of sushi? It's true that Rav Moshe said to make two brachos on chocolate-covered raisins. You'll say, ah, isn't sushi more like chocolate-covered raisins? You have two different entities, the raisins and the chocolate, together in one piece. It should be the same thing. But most poskim argue that this is only one tavshil, and we don't follow Rav Moshe there. And you only make one bracha on chocolate-covered raisins. It could be that Rav Moshe would tell a person to break sushi apart and to make two brachos, but sushi was not a thing when Rav Moshe was alive, so we'll never know. But according to most poskim, it could be a bracha shena tzricha to take sushi apart and to make an unnecessary two brachos on it, and therefore only one bracha should be recited according to this approach. So that's approach number two. There should be one pick. Pick what's the majority. Pick what's the ikar for you. Pick what's the main thing. Not the majority, but pick what's the ikar for you. Why are you doing a piece of sushi? And go at that. So far, just to review, we've seen three approaches. What's going to be 51%? Maybe that's what we'll follow. And if there's nothing, we go on to step number two. Step number one is there 51%? If there's not 51%, then we'll have to discuss what to do in a moment. Approach number two is the bracha nikar. What is the main show here? According to this opinion, you can't break things apart. You have to choose one thing. And you have to decide what are you in most interested in that sushi at that time. The third approach is to break it apart. And this is what Rabbi Mandelbaum was advocating, because Rabbi Mandelbaum and Rabbi Stitzberg felt that there's no real rov, there's no real majority. And therefore, you should take a little piece of each part and make seven brachas. So you have to sit there at the wedding, picking apart your sushi into pieces, mezonos on the rice, then ha'etz on the, if you have an avocado, and ha'dama on the cucumber, and then shahakol on the fish. This means, as we said, in that order, and also they don't cover one another, and there's no issue of brachas and etzricha, since this is not a real taroves, says Rabbi Mandelbaum. And if possible, it would be best to make a bracha on different items and to have parts of the sushi in mind. Meaning, go to one part of the wedding hall and find the mezonos. Go to another part of the wedding hall and find a ace. Go to another part of the wedding hall, find a dama. Go to another part of the wedding hall, caterer, and find a shahakol. And then have in mind that it should cover the sushi. So that obviously requires a lot of work, but Rabbi Mandelbaum and Rabbi Stitzberg feel that's the best thing. Now, let's raise the following question. Somebody should ask me, why don't we just make all the brachas at one time on the food, right? Pick up a piece of sushi and say the following. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Borei mine mezonos bo pri ha'etz, borei pri ha'adama shehakol nihyad bevaro. Why don't we do that? Wouldn't that solve all of our sushi problems by essentially making a sushi out of all the brachos, rolling it into one, and have all four things at one time? That would solve our problems. Or you'll say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Bori mina mezonos priya aitz, priya adama shehakol nihyad bevaro. Right? That could do as well. Why aren't we doing that? And then eat the sushi with that contains all four foods. So the Kaf HaChaim, Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer in Siman Reish Vav, discusses the idea of combining the brachos when dealing with a food that contains aitz and adama, and saying, Bori priya adama, bori priya aitz. And he says that bidiyeved, it would work, because one bracha can cover two things if they're mentioned in the bracha. And it would work, b'di'eved. If you made a bracha with all the things, it would cover them. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerodein Sim Shin Lamed Aleph and Sif Ayin Ches, regarding the bracha of Hafrashas Trumas and Maisros, one after another, without a hafsek of speech. You can say, Baruch Atah Hashem Kenim Al-Khalam, Lahafrish Trumos U'Maisros. So we see that we can bunch two brachas together. In the Sefer Yad Eliyahu and Chelek Aleph, he says that if you eat a number of different types of foods together, then just like we roll the together al hamichya, al hagefen, al haperos into one bracha achrona, so as the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Ches, so too you should be able to do the same for bracha rishona. So we see from the Yad Eliyahu, we see from the Kaf HaChaim that it would work bidiyeved to make a bracha on sushi, to roll all four brachos together and eat the sushi right afterwards. But they're all clear that this is not a lechatchila to be used in a case of doubt. The Chazon Ish Nor HaChaim Siman Lamed Aleph asks, Why don't we do this? What's wrong? Why can't I roll them all together in one bracha? So the Chazon says that one shouldn't have a hefsek between the bracha and eating. And therefore, you shouldn't have any addendum to your bracha because it will be a hefsek, a break, between the first part of the bracha and the food. Meaning, if I say, Baruch ata Hashem lokeinu melech olam, borei mine mizonos, borei priya eitz, borei priya adama shakal nivaro, then all that other stuff is a hefsek, a break between me making mizonos and eating the rice. Even though you can take a bite of the two foods at the same time, the Takanas Chachamim, Chazal, said that the bracha should be separate and not together. The Rosh Shlomo Zalman of the Mincha Shlomo Chelek Beis writes that if you're unsure about the bracha on a food, you may not make two brachos in a row, because it means that l'chadchila, you have decided to make a hefsek, a break of speech in the middle of the bracha. And that's why we don't do it. So let's combine these opinions together. Let's have a comment halacha. Ma'isa, we'll end with one more piece of advice. Let me tell you what the Star case says. The Star case says that irrespective of the filling, the food is known as sushi due to the rice. It appears that the rice is not secondary to the filling either. And therefore, the filling and the rice are not cooked together, and they remain distinct. And therefore, both the filling and the rice are primary ingredients, and both necessitate a bracha. This is similar, says the Star case, to Rav Moshe and the ice cream cones. And for this reason, Rabbi Heineman feels that one should recite a mizonos on the rice, as well as the appropriate bracha on the filling. And he says the nori is secondary to the rice and other ingredients and doesn't even require a bracha. So the Star case says, break it apart. Two brachos. Rabbi Mandelbaum, which he writes in this tshuva in Yeshurun, and he printed later in his Sefer Libun HaBracha, and the newest edition of Vezos HaBracha, printed a couple of years ago, say that generally sushi will be mizonos if the filling is 51% rice. Sorry, if the filling is rove, meaning 51%, you'll make a bracha on that on the filling. If the rice is 51%, you'll make a bracha on the rice. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shtisberg as well, in his Sefer Birchas HaMazon on as well. Rabbi Olbaum in the tshuva we quoted before. And if there's no clear rove of 51%, which is often the case, then you must separate the parts and make separate brachos. And there's no kvias bracha. You're not establishing any bracha based on the majority, if there is not 51%. So it would come out, halacha lemaisa, that certainly if one wants to make a mizonos on sushi, they have what to rely on. But it would most likely be preferable that when you're going to take a bite of that first piece of sushi, to break it in to its two most main components, the rice plus whatever the main filling is, and make a bracha on those two things, and then continue to eat the rest of the sushi. Now, the last thing you can do is, if you're very nervous, is if you're eating sushi, you can simply wash on bread, and you don't need to make a bracha since hamotzi covers the sushi. And the Be'er Halacha writes in Siman Kuf Ayin Zayin that any food that is meant to fill someone up is covered by the bracha on bread, and the bracha achrona would be covered by the Birchas HaMazon. And if you have sushi outside of a bread meal, then the bracha achrona would always be Be'er Nefashos, because there's not going to be any real mizonos there. So we see that sushi has a lot of complicated issues regarding the bracha. There are ways to get out of it. There are perhaps preferable ways. There are ways that will cover according to many opinions. But it would seem to be that according to most poskim, the best thing to do, unless you have a piece of sushi that is a clear 51% majority, a clear half of that piece of sushi, then the best thing to do is to break it into its two most main components, make a bracha on those things, and that will cover everything else.